the most important meal of the day, second breakfast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another Second Breakfast podcast. I'm Andy Roth alongside Phil Duvall. Say hi, Phil.
Hi, everybody. What a day.
What a day.
What a day.
Or, you know...
It's the day after the day. It's really
right.
What
considering,
it is.
Considering our topic for today's podcast, what a yesterday.
Can you just call this episode of Second Breakfast gay stuff? Because I just want to talk about gays for the next little bit here.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I try to... It's funny because we live in a world... In a world where gay stuff is totally politicized. You know, I have an interesting, you know, I've said this before on the show. A lot of people don't know, though. You know, I try not to get too personal. That's not true. But I had a big gay dad. Literally, my father was gay. And
can I stop you there real quick? Because
yeah.
I love everything that you've said so far. I love everything that you're about to say.
I'm doing a great job.
You're doing a great job. Folks, all of this is important. We are going to talk about movies today. That is going to happen.
Oh, definitely. No.
Yes.
Guys, we're a movie podcast.
No,
please.
Totally. Yes.
Don't think we've gone off the rails here.
Right. We are not the podcast arm of SCOTUS blog by any
means.
But
what's interesting to me about the gays is that having grown up for my life with a gay dad, and although he was in the closet for a good chunk of my life, and then he came out of the closet, and I lived with him both before and after in different mm-hmm. times. And, you know, is that for me, the politics of the gay stuff is secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, for much of it, realistically, the theological stuff as a priest, I have come back and started to reapproach how I understand the gay stuff from a Christian perspective. But for a while, that wasn't even a part of it. It was just... This is my dad, and this is his deal. And
sure.
There wasn't political. There were no political implications or even theological implications for a long period of time. And so I've reapproached this stuff as an adult. But first and foremost, it's a personal thing. And mm-hmm. so we don't normally get into politics on the show. And I guess some people would be like, oh, the gay episode, that might be political. I'm sure there will be some political overtones to what we talk about. But again, I don't – think of it as a political issue, and in fact, and so we are talking about this on the day after, of course, the would you call them monumentous?
Well, that's not a word.
Supreme
I don't
Court.
Think. Monumental or momentous?
Momentous.
There we go.
Momentous.
So I don't
so
think I would call them monumentous.
I hate when I do that.
I feel you. I would.
You talk as much as I do.
You're going to make up some
Sometimes
words?
Sometimes you just make things up. Shakespeare did it all the time. They called him a genius.
Right? You're a modern-day Shakespeare. Yes. Whatever aggrandizing adjective you want
to... It was a big day in America.
It was a big day. Yes.
Regardless of whether you're okay with it or not.
Regardless, also, regardless of the fact that at the end of the day, pretty much, like in the grand... 30,000 foot view, if you don't live in California, literally nothing changed. Basically. I mean, like...
But guess who's got two thumbs and lives in California? This guy!
Nice.
Although I'm straight, so I'm already married, so I'm all set. But I... and I, even more so, you and I were talking right before the podcast, and we won't get into... Again, what I found really fascinating was that the people that this does affect most immediately are the Californians... Mm-hmm. And the Californian gays.
Really
and
only the Californian gays. The Californians in general, I refuse
oh,
to
Oh, no,
because
the
that.
Straits where our marriage has been, it's destroyed. It's
that's
over.
Right. That's right. That's
my
right.
wife called me. My wife and I are getting a divorce now because
sure.
of the gays getting married. No, but what I found
I
amazing was
to.
That.
I mean, you have to, right?
They did it. They ruined marriage.
They ruined marriage.
I just think it's so funny that, like, straight people are worried that gay people will ruin marriage because straight people have done just a bang up job
bang
so
up
far.
Job. They are
but it's
gay
like,
busters.
You know,
totally.
But anyways, I all snarkiness aside, one thing that made me very happy we were talking about right before the show was that if you look at the people who struck down the Prop 8 Act, it did not happen along ideologically conservative liberal lines, and. That makes me happy, not because I want to defend conservatives, but because I want so badly for this issue to, in the long run, not be a political issue.
Yes.
In the long run, I don't want it to be an ideological thing. I don't believe that acceptance of gays needs to be a liberal platform and rejection of gays needs to be a conservative platform. I believe that you should, in the long run, I don't think any more than it shouldn't be like racial issues should not break right. down on an ideological platform. And to some degree, they're still kind of doing it. Freaks me out.
It's true.
But I don't think it should be. And so I was glad to see that the law that makes a huge difference in my home state, that there were some people that are traditionally enemies of the left who helped that happen. And even if for whatever reason, I don't care about the reasons. In the long run, I can look at this and say this was not an ideological decision that was made here. Or an ideologically, you know what I mean? And that makes me happy.
I do. Can I respond to that
lawyer.
With two things?
Lawyer it up.
No, I'm not going to, because we will be here for 7 hours before we get to any movies.
I know.
I will say this, and I said this to you before the podcast started, but I wish, first, thing one, I wish I could share your optimism about that, because I share your hope that it will not be a political issue and it will not be a partisan, not political, but a partisan issue specifically.
My hope is that it will not someday. I recognize that it is right now.
Right. Yes. No, agreed. Agreed. I share that hope. I don't believe that the breakdown of votes on Hollingsworth v. Perry, which is the Prop 8 case, I don't think you can look at that as an ideological case. I think where the justices actually stand, it's much easier to see that in DOMA.
Absolutely. And I hear that, but just from the point of view of like, I hear you completely, and no disagreement. Obviously, ideologically, some of the people that voted that struck down Prop 8 think gays are icky. No, we know this. Yeah. We know this. I think their actual official stance is gays are icky. But you know, nevertheless, this is the ruling that we have, and it stands. It won't stand.
And that's
on,
great.
It won't stand. It'll make people think. Wait a minute. There's these two different things that happened, and they are different. And how are they different? Maybe people won't think about it at all. But
right.
I'd like people.
Selfishly, here's what I'd love them to think. I'd love them to think what you said. Oh my God. It didn't break down along ideological lines. And here's what I don't. Most of the time, I'm like, people think as much as possible, do as much research as possible.
Right.
I don't want them to do that here. I want them to get as far as, oh my goodness, ideological like lines broke down here, and don't do any more digging because that's the answer. That's why it happened. La la
right.
la la
right,
la.
Right. Right. Right.
Thing two. Response two, I should say.
Oh boy.
Before we started, no. Before we started this podcast, face is a little ruddy, if my cheeks are rosy, it's because before we started this podcast, I was speaking to Phil about Justice Scalia, and what basically happened to me, I'm going to do a movie thing here, right?
Here it comes.
Flames, no, right. No, even more than that. What happened to me was basically what happens to the Nazis at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, your face melted. I've never seen you so angry.
Yeah.
And I'm laughing, folks. If you're worried that Andy and I are going to go off on a liberal rant, I have no opinion about Justice Scalia. And I know you're supposed to have an opinion. I don't really have one. Andy, on the other hand, has an opinion.
I have an opinion enough for the both of us and several people who you know who are not politically motivated as well.
You have a bunch. And that's, yeah, you were saying earlier about like, you know, you're not sure you share my hope, but you're not sure you share the enthusiasm that I have. And that's like, I was like, that's okay. I have it for both of us.
That's fantastic.
I feel it.
Good.
And you have the anger in your heart for both of us.
Yes. I gotta be honest.
Deep hatred.
I don't love agreeing with Emperor Palpatine, but my hate has made me powerful.
Emperor Palpatine's not evil. Here's the deal. He is evil, but he's not wrong about hate making you powerful.
That's right.
There's a really interesting thing. Let me tell you something really interesting about biblical injunctions against witchcraft and soothsaying.
Wow, I can't wait for this.
They don't say don't do it because it's not real. They say don't do it because it's real and you should have no part in that stuff. That's an interesting difference because a lot of people go, oh, whatever, don't waste your time with Ouija boards. But like a lot of Christians, myself included, and I don't make any bones about this, would be like, don't.
Please don't.
Don't do crazy witchcraft stuff. That's made by Milton Bradley. Then Milton Bradley does something that belongs to the devil. They shouldn't do that. I don't even feel bad about saying that. I'm like, just don't do that. Don't turn lights off in the bathroom and do Bloody Mary weird stuff. Don't do that.
Right.
You don't know. So anyways, that's the same thing. Gays. Let's talk about gays in the movies.
Let's.
This is what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Because before I found out that my dear old dad was a big gay, what I realized is, I mean, obviously when that happens, your whole understanding of what you think you know about something is shattered, right? Sure. I mean, that's the reality. And this is why it's a personal issue for me, is that there's no ideology to that guy's my dad. There's no ideology there. There's no politics involved. It's just two people having a relationship, a father-son relationship, and trying to understand how to be father and son, really, more than anything. You know what the hardest part about finding out my dad was gay was?
What's that?
That he was remotely attracted to anybody at all. It totally grossed me out.
Fair. Totally
to fair. Be a homosexual, you have to be sexual.
Indeed.
And I was like, oh, this is a shame. I'd rather just think of you as asexual, please.
It's like Morgan Freeman in Shawshank Redemption. Are they gay? No, to be gay, first you have to be human, and they don't
qualify. Yeah. And I don't want to think of my parents as human at all.
Zero.
My mom got remarried. She's like totally in love with her husband. It was gross. Oof. He's a great guy. They love each other. It's disgusting. So anyways, but what I realize in light of this and thinking about movies is, do you know the first gay character that I can remember from a movie?
What's that?
Is the guy from the movie Airplane. Who's wow. Like, we're going to the tower. The tower? Rapunzel! You know? Or like they're about to go in for the landing, and then the lights go out, and he's like at the plug. It's like, oopsie.
Yes.
And it's this whole sort of like, I grew up, and then the movies. Like, I guess what I want to talk about today is like gay people in the movies, and how we see it. That I grew up with. That was really unquestionably my first impression of gay people, and it was that they were like a joke.
Yeah,
and well, if they weren't threatening, there were the threatening gays who were pedophiles, but you didn't see those in movies.
Right.
That was just what I was taught in my church.
Sure.
But in the movies, what you just see is like someone who was fabulous, and really, even today, I look and I'm like, by and large, if someone's gay in a movie, it's their job to be fabulous, which is a really interesting thing to have to be all the time. Sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was. I guess I'm curious about what impressions you've gotten from, you know, how you've seen gay people in movies and like what they've looked like for you. I don't want to do like a. I mean, you can watch In the Celluloid Closet, or you can have, you know, talk about the official cultural impact, and we're not going to do that here today. Like, we're not going to talk about like. We're not going to wax philosophical about how American culture, blah, 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 blah. But I'm interested just in my impressions of gays in movies and your impressions in gays in movies and where you've, how they shaped your understanding, you know?
I mean, it seems totally facile to say that they didn't, right? Of course they did. But it was never a conscious thing for me. I certainly saw Airplane before I saw the movie that was the first sort of gay movie or gay characters that I remember as being gay, right?
Airplane
didn't make an that particular impression on me.
Right.
That movie was Le Cage aux Folles.
Oh, wow. Now, how old were you when you saw that?
Less than 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, less than
10. Now, you grew up in a household.
Yeah.
First of all, you're not Christian.
That is true.
And the brand of Jew that you are is not super conservative, right? You didn't come from a.
It's funny you use that word.
Well, you're conservative Jews.
I was raised in a conservative home. We went to a conservative.
But conservative Judaism doesn't mean conservative the way that it means it politically in the terms of.
It was not an Orthodox or Hasidic household. That is.
And
true.
So even within, for instance, within conservative Judaism, there's not necessarily, or is there a sort of. A barring of the gays or a banning.
As a matter of fact, in the past couple years, the Congress of conservative rabbis, whatever the governing body, sure, of conservative Judaism is called, or I think worldwide and definitely in America, has come out in favor of ordaining gay and lesbian, okay, rabbis.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm almost positive they came out in support of gay marriage as well.
Okay. Okay. So they're moving in that direction, or they're there, and yeah, maybe when you were growing up, it still wasn't necessarily something they preached about. I know, you know,
I think that's right. I think that's right. I don't remember. My parents have never been prejudiced. Against homosexuals or homosexuality. But I will say that there were whole years of my upbringing that even though, like, even past, like, that you don't talk about sex with a kid, like, it just wasn't something, it wasn't the issue that it is today.
It had not yet become, because
honestly, Phil, when we were growing up, when we were real young, AIDS, yeah, wasn't even, like, a thing yet, the way it became in, like, the late 80s.
Yeah, you're right. You know? You're right. You're right.
And honestly, news reports about AIDS might be my first, I hate to use this term, but my first pop culture experience with it.
I understand, and I know why you use that word, because AIDS had a really interesting impact on not just our culture, but specifically on pop culture, and it was pop culture that actually embraced the fight in a very interesting way.
Mm-hmm.
That actually led people, I mean, as much as people like, oh God, the ribbons and the causes, I mean, a bunch of people that are always in front of a camera insisting that we talk about something that we weren't talking about is an interesting, you, yes, know, again,
yes,
and again, should not be a political issue, for, right, God's sake.
Right.
But you know, I don't know. This is interesting to me because, and you grew up in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know gay people, or I mean, that you knew were gay? Like, did you have like the gay uncle or like people who were partnered or whatever, anything like that?
I did. I do.
Okay.
I don't. One of my oldest friends, one of my best friends through high school. Not that there's been a falling out. We just lived
in places. Sure.
He was gay, and he was not.
But like,
out.
But okay, okay.
Let me back up, and without getting too sappy and maudlin, I feel that I kind of failed him because he wasn't. I don't know who he was out to in high school, if anyone, but he wasn't out to me, and I can't help feeling that part of that was because. And I know I don't mean to make myself more important than I am. It was almost certainly
internal. Don't worry, we don't think you're important.
Nice,
right.
Nice. It was like internal, I'm not ready to do this.
Sure.
But I can't help feeling that I could have been more open to it somehow.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
And,
of course.
And so.
Well, you're a kid. I mean, come on, kids. You know, kids are still, we forget, like, you're trying to figure that. I mean, you don't, kids are taught how to respond to things by and large.
Yes.
And if you have no framework for it, you have no framework for it. You know, the interesting thing was my parents had a couple of friends that were gay that were close friends of the family. And it was like, you didn't ever talk about it. But I even kind of knew, I mean, we knew it, but we didn't talk about it.
Right.
But we knew it. Mm-hmm. So at least I knew that you could be friends with them.
Right. Yeah.
And that my parents could trust them alone with me. But I mean, growing up in a house where my dad was in the closet for a big chunk of that, you know, it's interesting. I think that probably it wouldn't be something that my dad would be like, let's watch La Caja Fall, you know, like.
Right, right.
Like, my mom, that would have been an awkward everything. Awkward everything. So I didn't see, but so you saw this movie where these gay men are being gay, and the movie's about,
yes,
a family accepting who they are.
Yes.
So you essentially watched a very well-made French after-school special about gays is really what you did.
Yes.
Yeah.
For those who don't know,
very fabulous.
Right. For those who don't know La Cage aux Folles, it is the original French movie that was remade in America as The Birdcage. The Birdcage is fine. I enjoy The Birdcage. See La Cage aux Folles. It is brilliant.
I thought The Birdcage was crap.
Okay.
And it made me not want to see the original, and I've never seen the original.
I gotta be honest. It's sort of on the crap side of okay. Is fine. It's on the crap side of fine.
Considering the talent in that movie,
should have been much better.
I mean,
should have been much better.
I mean, Gene Hackman and Diane Weiss and Robin Williams and Hank Azaria. Hank Azaria was my favorite part of that movie.
Yes.
And the daughter was wearing an Exeter shirt, which made me happy. But it's just like, it's just, so what's interesting for me is that, again, I mean, I never saw gay people in movies except that. And then like, there was a, like the gay neighbor with the cats.
Okay.
Like, there's one in Frankie and Johnny. Right. And I think Nathan Lane plays that.
Yes.
Shockingly.
Great. Stunningly.
Harvey Fierstein in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mm-hmm. Oh, honey. Yeah.
I feel like Gloria Swanson. You look like a mother. It's my favorite line of all time. I love that movie. I know Mrs. Doubtfire is not a good movie. I know it in my heart.
It's okay.
I will never take it away from me. You can't take that movie away from me. I feel like Gloria Swanson. You look like a mother. Anyways, but
Harvey, that's why. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, but so these are Uncle Frank and Aunt Jack. That line, they call them Uncle Frank and Aunt Jack.
Yes.
So those are my, you know, my introductions to how to present gay stuff is, I mean, they've got to be very effeminate. They've got to be fabulous.
Right.
You know, and they've got to, and you call them things like Uncle Frank and Aunt Jack, which I thought was really funny. And the thing is, my humor is still totally informed by that. I think gay jokes are hilarious. And then I think about it and I'm like, oh, I'm probably like, there's those two sides. There's a part of me that's like, this is really funny. And the other part of me that's like, and totally dehumanizing to people that I love, like including my own father. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
yes. Yes.
But I used to, but I mean, my whole impression of gay people was given to me by whatever was in pop culture because I just soaked up movies and TV like a sponge.
Yes.
You know, and that's the image that you're given. In fact, now that I think about it, I went on it like, I feel like once my dad came out of the closet, it was a banner time for him to come out of the closet because Birdcage came out, Priscilla Queen of the Desert came out like that same year.
Sure.
I'm trying to think of what else. It was a great time to be gay in the movies, I think. There was a sort of like, you know, Crying Game. I could talk about Crying Game for like a year and a half.
Right. Right.
It's,
yes.
Just fascinating from the way that they, like how it understands sexuality. But I guess, so, I mean, do you remember gay characters at all? I mean, Lakasha Foe, but were there other things that were like your understanding of gay people in movies?
I mean, interestingly, not so much. I mean, do you want to know, you know, like, I think the first time that had an impact, to the point where I remember it now, the first time that I maybe even like was cognizant of what being gay means when I was very young, not very, very young, around 10, maybe a little younger, my dad ran for judge in Harris County. Yeah. And he did not. Thank goodness.
Do they let Jews be judges in Texas? Is that a thing they let happen?
Only for financial cases.
Okay. Doesn't Houston have a gay mayor now?
Heck yeah, we do.
What up? All right, continue.
She's amazing. She's just the bomb.
I know nothing about her except for the fact that she sleeps with women. So that's which is not something you should know about people, by the way.
That's fair. That's true.
I'm a very private person when it comes to the doing it stuff. So I actually, it's like, it's not that I'm grossed out about you being gay. Again, I don't want to know about what you do with anybody. I just want to know.
Right.
Just do the law thing.
So he ran for judge, and one of the endorsements that he got was from like the gay caucus or whatever it was in Houston. And I just thought that was fascinating. And I was like, I don't even know what that means. And so like we talked about it, you know, and that was kind of it.
Go ahead.
I'm not giving that to you.
You shouldn't.
But you know, it's really weird. I honestly think it's kind of weird that I don't have like a set of movies that sort of be clear. Of course I do. I just can't remember them, right?
Sure.
I just can't remember them. I want to say something that relates to some of the things you've said, and I want to be very clear. Very clear. I am not equating homosexuality with pedophilia. I'm not. That is not what I'm doing.
Okay.
But When you're a kid, you anything that is different from you, and I mean like,
oh yeah,
you look exactly the same as me, except your hair is straight instead of curly and wavy. Like anything,
right?
Any difference is a source of fascination. And there is a line in Roger Ebert's review of the movie The Woodsman that stars Kevin Bacon as a pedophile who gets out of prison. And he says, you know, the thing that this movie understands is, or something like that, is that, you know, most of us, like, we just grew up and our sexual urges were there, you know, like they were just there and they fit within the norms, right? So it really wasn't ever about like the sex. It was about the love. As a youngster, as a kid, when I was first learning about it, it was like I didn't even like think about the sex. I was like two men who aren't related kissing. You know what I mean?
Right. You didn't have older brothers.
That's right.
You didn't walk in and be like, what are you guys watching? Oh my gosh.
That's right. So, you know, I know I was shaped. I mean, clearly, look at who I've become. Clearly, I was shaped by pop culture. But I don't really remember a ton of movies that even had gay characters in it where the point was that they were gay, or even like their defining characteristic was that they were gay, until I grew up. And if I wasn't choosing the movie for myself, usually my dad or a friend was choosing it for some reason. Like,
sure.
Like, for example, he showed me The Goodbye Girl, which is not a movie about anything. Have you seen it?
Nope. I know that it's one of your favorite movies. I have not seen it yet.
It is. Richard Dreyfuss plays an actor who falls in love with the woman that he is stuck in an apartment with, basically. And it's not anything about being gay, except he comes to New York because he has been cast as Richard III in an off-Broadway show. And his director, like, is giving, like, the remarks before they start the rehearsal process. I don't know how well you know Richard III, Second Breakfast Nation. It's a wonderful play. You should know it because it's awesome. Who was Richard? And of course, like, what people think about is he's deformed. He's like a monster. Like, he's like Igor as Shakespearean tragic hero.
Right.
And the next words out of the director's mouth was he was a flaming homosexual. And Richard Dreyfuss is like, say what now? And he's like, well, isn't you know, his lust after Lady Anne one of his defining characteristics? He says it with saltier language than that.
Right.
But yes, and the director's like, sorry, beep, office.
No worries. Sometimes you gotta say hi to people.
Right. Sometimes you do. The director.
The director
was like, is that one of his motivations? He's like, ugh. So they start. And you know, it starts with the famous, you know, now is the summer of our discontent made glory. Now is the winter of our discontent made glorious summer by the Son of York. And he starts it and he's like, now is the winter. And he's like, no. And the director's like, gayer.
Okay.
And he's like, how far off the diving board do you want me to jump? And the director goes, don't give me Bette Midler, but let's not be afraid to be bold.
Okay.
And all I will say is this. By the time the production comes around, a line that he has to another character in the movie is, I'm about to play the second greatest role in the English-speaking theater like a double order of fresh California fruit salad. But at the same time, I mean, to the surprise of no one listening to this, the director is gay. Right? So it isn't a joke at the expense of gay people.
Well, I mean, another example of my experience growing up was Blazing Saddles at that last scene.
Right. Right, throw out your hand and stick out your tush. Yeah.
Right, and the director is clearly gay. Mm-hmm. He's like, do you all understand what I'm saying? And they're like, yes. And he goes, sounds like steam escaping. And I always thought, and I'm going to say a word, I'm going to say an offensive word now, so just deal with it. But one of that line when he's like counting off and he goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, watch me faggots. And he's gay and he says that.
Right. Right.
And it's funny because it's in a comedy and I was growing up thinking the whole movie's funny. And so his, right. and the way the line said is really, really funny.
Yeah.
And so I always thought that line was really funny that he would say that. But now I'm like, yeah, but a straight guy wrote that. Like, I feel kind of weird.
Right.
But
right.
the whole movie, I mean, but and to some degree it gets away with it because, well, one, and I say this with absolute admiration for you and your people, Jews get away with some awesome things. Because, and Mel Brooks especially, he's just like, I mean, Mel Brooks is the guy who's like, is it too early to make a comedy about Hitler? You know, I mean, like, that's,
right.
like,
yes.
And his whole yes. thing is, as a people who culturally identify themselves as historically persecuted, they don't do this whole thing where they're like, well, we're persecuted, so we can make fun of anybody. They actually do it sort of like, we're with you. And almost his outrage about racism, as told in Blazing Saddles, sort of works from a Jewish perspective as like him speaking up for blacks mm-hmm. as a Jew.
Yeah.
Don't know if it works so well with the gays. They're really just a big cliche in that movie. And it's just sort of like, and that's interesting in and of itself. Like, I think one of the things that I'm interested in is how far ahead of the curve culturally, or how helpful are movies? How helpful / hurtful are movies in terms of helping us? I mean, we always think like, oh, Hollywood's so liberal.
Yeah.
And the people, and no question, the people who make the movies in terms of the actors and quite often the directors and writers are fairly liberal. But realistically, the things that we see, like, for instance, we don't see black men kissing white women in movies. We yeah, don't see that.
That's right.
That's not
right.
a thing we see. Yeah. It's okay if a white man hooks up with a black chick because it's exotic and interesting.
Right.
And men are allowed to be attracted to whoever we want.
But a black man kissing a white woman, it goes back to...
You do not see that
It goes
on
back to Blazing Saddles, where he's like, where are the white women at?
Right. It goes to that dark place. I'm glad you brought... I brought up Blazing Saddles, and I forgot you said that. I'm glad you said that, because right. that whole romance between Clevon Little and Madeline Kahn.
Yes.
And...
Yes.
And it's actually kind of what's wonderful about that scene, actually, why that's so pervasive, subversive is the word I wanted to use. Why that's so subversive is that, like, she's the one who attacks him sexually.
Yes.
And not
yes.
the other way around.
Yes.
So it's not this, like, you know, this sort of, it goes against that stereotype as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
12 Schnitzelgrubens is my limit.
God, it's such an interesting question. And I hate to start with such a milquetoast answer, but I don't know that you can draw any conclusions, and let me tell you why. Because still today, we're getting movies that, like, the punchline to the joke is, that dude's gay, right?
Right.
But in the 60s, you had Lawrence of Arabia, one of the finest movies ever made. The main character, totally gay. Totally
okay,
gay.
I didn't know that.
And yet, and you know, you want to know one of
is
the reasons...
Is that part of the plots?
Yes, and yet it is never... It's part of the plot without ever being spoken on.
Oh, well, that's what I meant. There's no point where someone's like, so he's a gay, right?
Right, but here's the deal, Phil. He almost instantly, when he falls in with the Arabs, he has two boys assigned to him, and they're just his companions for the rest of the movie.
Got it.
But... it's not spoken on, and part of that is, part of that is sort of, you know, the remnants of the Hays Code and stuff like that. But
I still for all of my favorite movies having terrible language, I still love the Hays Code so much.
Sure,
because it just made everyone so creative.
Agreed. So I think part of that was by necessity. Like, we can't talk about how gay, you know, Lawrence was in real life. But David Lean was like, well, I'm going to show this. I'm going to.
This is interesting. Even our and we talk about how gay, like what and they said it in What Women Want when Mel Gibson's character pretends to be gay, and she's like, how gay?
Right.
And he's like, pretty gay. But it's like that thing, it's like again, we have this idea of like, and we kind of mean, I mean, it's funny, what do we mean? Do we mean like we're kind of attracted to the same sex? Or do we mean like, let me give you an example. You brought this up about the Richard Dreyfuss thing. I had that happen to me. I did a play, we were in it, well, you weren't in it, but I was in a play sophomore year, directed by a guy who was gay, although I don't know if he was out of the closet at the time, so I won't name names. Well, he's out now, but, and I was cast as a gay person.
Okay.
And one of the directions to me was like, you need to be gayer.
Sure.
And what was
the name of this play?
It's only a play. It was the play that we did the August. It was the first week of the year play.
Show.
The orientation show.
Right. Right. I was in the musical. Right.
That's
right.
One of the directions to me was you've got to be gayer, from a gay person telling me this.
Right.
And I was confused by the direction.
Yeah.
Because I live with a gay guy and he just acts like him, and I know a bunch of gay people, and some of them are very, and I don't know if effeminate is the appropriate term to use anymore. I don't even know that. I grew up saying effeminate. Some of them are effeminate. Some of them aren't. Some of them are fabulous, shall we say.
Sure.
And I mean fabulous. I mean people that, and to the degree, like even Louis C.K. is like, look, I'm not homophobic. It's funny. He goes, you know, if he's standing on the sidewalk and some guy's like, right, like, I'm not laughing because they're gay. I'm laughing because they're ridiculous. Like, oh my God, it's hot out there. Like if someone does that, you got to laugh a little bit. And
literally anyone doing that
would be fun. And so I knew people like that, but I also knew people who just, you know, were as gay as the day is long, who were just, they were just them.
Yeah.
They were just them. And so when the direction was be more gay, part of me was like, and I don't mean to be all like, what? Or like, how dare you ask that? I remember just being like, I don't understand. I thought I was, which maybe I was just not a very good actor. Also, it's possible that it was like, you know, like read the lines slower, like the girl in Singing in the Rain when she's trying to do the lines properly, you know, like, come over here. You know, or whatever that one
round
line is.
Round tones.
Right, keeps trying over and over again.
I can't stand him.
And I can't stand him.
So it's possible that I'm just tone deaf and I should have been gayer and that was my fault. But part of me, I think, looking back, is like, I don't understand. That my character is gay. How, isn't it just obvious?
I mean, one response that I have to that is, you know, it's not like being pregnant. It's not you either are or you aren't, right? I mean, there is the Kinsey.
There are shades.
The Kinsey scale, if that's called the Kinsey scale, is exists for a reason, right?
Sure.
And the other thing I want to say is, I do remember that play and your performance, and I will remind you that my first role in college was as a gay man in Christopher Durang's Beyond Therapy. First kiss in college was Ted Young.
I remember.
Yes.
Teddy was my roommate senior year. I love Teddy Young. I remember that. I remember watching that and being like, I'm cool with the gays, but I have never seen any. I was like, those two guys are straight. This must be hard. I remember thinking that.
Right.
Well,
about 4 days, we were into Tech Week. We were into dress rehearsals, for those who don't know about acting. We were home stretch, last couple rehearsals. And the director stopped in the middle of notes after the show, and she said, let's all congratulate Andy Roth for finally playing a gay guy.
Wow.
That's
great.
That felt really good. But then I was like, holy crap, what have I been doing? You know, like,
what did I do all this time?
Right, and obviously I was shaping and perfecting the performance, but you know, it was a thing.
Yeah. Did people think you were gay? Did people, I mean, in general, like,
yes.
People thought I was gay a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. People thought I was gay, which I don't, I mean, whatever, again, it's like, okay, I don't know how to, it's funny because people are like, oh, I'm sorry. And I was like, it's fine. Like, because I at that point was like, yeah, no, I mean, I'm not, but that's cool. I mean,
right.
So I think I told you this, I had a girlfriend that in college that was like, I was like, you know, people think I'm gay a lot. And she was like, yeah, I know. And I was like, excuse me? She's like, oh, I thought you were gay when I met you. And I was like, you did? She's like, yeah. I was like, why? This is like a New York girl, liberal. She was like, I don't know, the hat you wore and the way you walked and talked, I just thought you were gay. And I was like, when did you realize I wasn't? She said, when you asked me out. I was like, awesome. I was like, We'd been dating for like a year at this point. I was like, you know, I'm not gay now, right? She's like, yeah, no, I know you're not gay now. I'm like, well, then we're all set. Because right. if she was still having doubts a year into the relationship, I was not playing straight well enough.
You know,
you could be straighter. You could be straighter.
Right. You know I'm not gay now, right? Phil, we need to talk.
Yeah, no, seriously. And that was the end. No, I mean, like, yeah. I don't know what, I mean, whatever. People can think what they think. It is what it is. My wife knows. My wife knows. My daughter's, I think, a product of the truth, but whatever.
I would agree
then
with
again,
that.
But then again, my dad's married. Three kids.
Then again, you. Yes, that's
so
right.
So who knows, people? It's a...
Who knows,
it's a mystery.
Indeed.
But, you know, I think... going back to movies, you know, I think it's interesting. There was a... this is a TV show, actually. Sarah Silverman had a TV show where she cast two of her friends as, like, these two guys. And she was like, can you be in my show? And they're like, yeah. And then they showed up one day and they were playing it. She's like, like these two guys were hanging out, sitting at a table together, just like buddies talking. And then in the next episode, something like this, like the next episode, it came up that they were gay lovers or gay partners and they lived together. And the guy was like, wait, we're gay? She's like, yeah. And she never told them until then. And he was like, oh. She's like, but where should we have? And she's like, no, that's the whole point. Like, just be you guys and play you guys.
Yeah.
And then you're gay. And I think we'll see. I hope we see more of that. It'll be interesting. You know, it'll be interesting when they make a movie that's like, I mean, give me an example of a gay love story. And it's like Brokeback Mountain. Well, holy crap. It's the most depressing thing of all time.
Right. Whoa.
So
there's another movie. I want to say it's called Weekend, about these two guys who meet and they just
Weekend at Bernie's is about gay guys. That makes perfect sense now that I think about it. Andrew
Phil,
McCarthy and Jonathan Silverman.
Phil. Just go.
It makes perfect sense.
Just go. Absolutely not. No. I'm gonging you out. Absolutely
I'm
going to
rewatch
not.
That whole movie as a gay movie and rethink the whole thing. Go ahead. Continue.
Jesus. I don't even know what to do with you. There are, of course, gay love stories. There's Kissing Jessica Stein, which I have problems with as like a gay.
I
have problems with it as like a lesbian love story because of the way it ends. I wonder about the metaphor. I'll just put it there. There's a movie that escapes the title escapes my recollection that is wonderful. Starring Jessica Paré from Mad Men and Piper Perabo. Parabo.
Okay. Her name is never to be said correctly. Sorry.
Right. I mean, they're out there, but yes. Like the first thing I think of is Brokeback Mountain. It's like, oh god. Like, and
Lost and Delirious is the name of that movie.
Okay. Fantastic.
You're welcome.
Interestingly, I saw a movie the other night. Last night, in fact. New movie, The Bling Ring.
Yeah. Looking forward to seeing that.
And I think the main male character is gay. I'm not sure it's ever said. It might be. But, like, he falls in with all of these just, like, gorgeous high school girls.
Right.
And, like, he's instantly...
isn't trying to do anything with any of them.
Right. And he's like, they go to him for fashion advice.
Oh, yeah, then he's gay. He is, so, then. That's the deal, right?
Sure, right. Yeah, that's apparently the deal.
You know, I just... it'll be interesting. What was I going to say? There was a movie about... No, it'd just be interesting to see like a movie where... you know what's a movie that has a gay relationship and it's just a gay relationship? And it's a phenomenal movie. Our Idiot Brother with Paul Rudd.
Yes.
And the relationship, the dysfunctional relationship between Zooey Deschanel and Rashida Jones.
Yes.
But it's literally just these two women.
It's just these two women. Yes. I love that movie and I love that relationship.
I love that movie. Our Idiot Brother's a great movie. You know, I don't know how I end this podcast because I could talk about this all day long. I said it on another podcast once, but for me, actually, the movie that really introduced me to watching gays in movies in a way that I was able to, that was human, was The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, which is funny because it's so ridiculous and fabulous, except that it's ridiculous and fabulous in moments and celebrates that,
right,
but then recognizes the absolute humanity of these people and the fear of living in the society they live in.
Yes.
I saw that with my dad after he came out and to me, and then we watched that movie, and there's the whole movie is predicated on the idea that this guy's about to meet his son and he's terrified of what he will think of him. So it's got some very, but it's got that nuance. It's got a I don't know if transsexual is still a term that's appropriately used, but a person who's had the sex change operation or is having it, and that whole world, and that whole thing. So it's got different ideas about gender and sexuality within the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That movie is ahead of its time. That's almost, by the way, almost, I think it's 20 years old now, that movie.
Woof. Wow.
No. Which makes us really old.
Well,
so watch that.
Yeah.
But I think I just want to finish with a story about the gays in the movies, and a story about my dad, because that was my introduction to the whole deal in the first place. And that was that he called me up when I was on a road trip, and my dad was one of those guys. You know those people that just can't remember the names of movies, no
yes.
matter what.
Yes.
Okay. Brokeback Mountain is a fairly simple title.
True.
And Brokeback Mountain came out like right before he died. And so he called me up and he said, "Have you seen The Brokeback?" And I was like, "No, I haven't seen it yet." "Well, you gotta see it. It's amazing. It's the greatest love story of all time." And I'm like, "Okay, it's just enough with that. Stop, okay? Stop. Just because you're gay doesn't mean you're not my father and a ridiculous human being." But after he died, one of my brothers said to me, like literally within like a day of him dying, was like, "Hey, do you know if Dad ever saw Brokeback Mountain?" And I said, "Yeah, he did." And he goes, "Okay, well, he died happy." So, anyways, leave it with that.
Which is astonishing, because I don't know how anyone can come out of that movie happy.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. But he's like complete. This is, you know, at least it was a humanizing picture of something.
No. Totally agreed. Totally
right.
Agreed.
So with that, congratulations, America. The gays are here to stay. And congratulations, movies. Get your act together.
Indeed.
And start treating them like human beings.
Indeed. Absolutely. They are, in fact, human beings.
Newsflash.
Right?
Right.
Right. Yeah. So this has been a screamingly liberal episode of...
I will not... I don't agree.
I don't actually agree either. This has been another episode of Second Breakfast Podcast.
I'm really Andy gay Roth. Episode.
Say again?
It's been a really gay episode.
This has been a really gay episode of Second Breakfast Podcast. I'm Andy Roth, and that is Phil Duvall, and we will see you again real soon. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
The most important meal of the day, Second Breakfast.